Hey friends, welcome to Recovering with Dani. I'm your host, Danielle Van Kay, and this podcast is all about eating disorder recovery, being a single 30-something, navigating the dating scene, and going through, you know, an existential crisis or two. My goal as an eating disorder recovery coach is to help you start living the life you have always dreamt of. Welcome to the show. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode. All right. So today, first off, I wanted to say I'm showing up for all of you because I feel like consistency is first and foremost the most important thing in my work, but also in recovery. So therefore, I'm showing up. But I do want to say I'm showing up despite myself being in horrific pain currently. My jaws are inflamed to, I don't know. It's really annoying. I don't know what's going on. My TMS symptoms, tension myoneural symptoms are like, did I say that right? TMS? Yeah. Syndrome, sorry. Like TMS is like, if you don't know what that is, go Google it. Like an entire world has been opening up for me, and it's scary, but also very exciting because I realized, oh, this is what chronic pain is all about. Anyway, long story short, I'm in a lot of pain currently, but I still wanted to show up for you and be here. This is going to be one of those imperfect episodes, but we're embracing the imperfection. And I've recently also kind of like complained about my own English on the podcast. I was like, oh my God, is this what I sound like? Because obviously I'm not a native English speaker. I'm Dutch. I speak 50-50 like Dutch English. But for some reason also, I don't know why that is. Speaking English hurts more. And as in like my jaw pain is like more aggravated when I speak English. Isn't that weird? Maybe the way you use your tongue or something. Anyway, whatever it is. Also, don't forget to mark your calendars on the 26th of April, because that's going to be the launch of the DVK Recovery Method Guide. That's already going to be in a week. That's insane. Do I say that right? Like, let's say once you listen to this, it's going to be fast. So, all right. So we're going to talk about, as you can see from the title today, about exercise and the reasons and the compulsive nature about of it. And as you all know, exercising in recovery can undermine your progress in recovery, both physically and emotionally. And I always say to everyone, listen, I am not the anti-movement police or the anti-exercise police. If someone works with me, they always say, like, I know that it's, you know, listed on my website that I say, I want you to minimize your exercise or your walking to 30-ish minutes. Why I do that is because for most people, there is a compulsive element to exercise. That is not the case for everyone, though. So I'm now very much generalizing. I know that a lot of people don't have that issue. I did in the past, and therefore I can speak from personal experience. And to backtrack a bit about, you know, my story, trigger warning, I do talk about compulsive exercise or exercise compulsion in this case. I've said this story like a gazillion times before. I thought I was recovered. I was in my first year of university, and I remember being extremely obsessed with just the way how I moved my body, how much I had to do with that, burning off calories and whatnot. Now, it didn't help that I studied nutrition and dietetics. So also for those who are new here, I have a background in nutrition and dietetics, orthomolecular nutrition. And I'm actually a licensed health coach as well. So that was all like, you know, background noise, I would say. Not even background noise. That was like my world. So exercise was a huge component of my life. And I've always been super active as a kid as well. And I never saw it as like a problem up until it was actually becoming a problem. And that was like between 18 and 21, I would say that's when things really started to become like an issue. And I remember like schlepping my ass to the gym and being so tired. This was also kind of like around the time when I got sick with Lyme disease. And I was just exhausted and I had to go to the gym. Now, for some people might listen to this and be like, wait, but I don't go to the gym. Does walking still count as exercise? For sure. 100%. Here's the kicker. I even have a lot of clients or people who will sign up for coaching or just who I talk to on Instagram DM, whatever it is, they will say, But I don't do any of that. I don't go to the gym. I don't walk. But I do a lot of stuff around the house. Like I clean obsessively. Or I go to the supermarket like 10 times as opposed to one time. In the end, you guys, when it comes to everything in recovery, you have to ask yourself, what is the intention? And am I going to feel uncomfortable if I'm going to do the opposite? So simple example would be like, hey, I'm going to have a full-blown rest day today, meaning I call it rotting days. I think if you're a little, like, let's say if you're on TikTok, you know what a rotting day is. Rotting day basically means that you're just chillaxing on the couch with some nice food, Netflix, not lifting a finger. You know, the only thing you would forklift is food to your mouth. That's all you do. That's the only exercise you literally do. So I remember when I was struggling with my, you know, addiction to exercise, and at that time I was completely in denial. I do remember that if I would tell myself I'm going to have like a full-blown rest day, I would feel super, super uncomfortable and very restless. And then I would like move a lot around the house. And I think the actual kicker here, or the actual, well, I would say now hindsight is always 20/20. When I realized, oh, wait, I do actually have an issue, was when I relapsed. Because the actual reason why I relapsed was not so much because I was getting sick from Lyme. It was more so that I was in so much body pain that I couldn't move. So I was like, wait, I'm not exerting any energy, so I probably don't need that much food anymore, you know? And again, like I unfortunately have been one of those students who has been in classrooms with like, you know, professors, literal professors, can you imagine, who say, oh my God, how much calories does it take to burn X amount of, how much exercise does it take to burn X amount of calories? And it's so insane that we think about food that way, right? So that's kind of like what I was used to look at food as, okay, this is that, like this amount of food, this amount of calories, so I need to move my body this amount of time, you know? So I was like literally a walking calculator. It was really, really, really annoying. And At the time, ignorance is bliss, I guess. I thought I was in a good place in my recovery, which in hindsight is like hilarious. So I would say, like a lot of people ask me, what do I do with exercise when I'm in recovery? So there's a lot of like factors that are so important to, literally factor in. It's like I said, it can undermine your progress in recovery, both physically and emotionally. And like, I'm just going to say it like it is, physically, because you increase your energy expenditure. So that also means that your nutritional needs need to be increased. So you need to increase your intake, which is for a lot of people already hard in recovery. I always say, like, listen, if you really want to do that run, if you really want to do that, whatever it is, like rock climbing, are you willing to eat more because of that? And if the answer is no, well, then you can't do it. You need to be able, like, first of all, everyone who has a healthy relationship with food, their body, and exercise, they will eat more when they exercise. They will eat more when they expend energy. Exert energy, that's the word. When they exert energy, they will eat more in order to refuel, right? That's just what that is. That's what normal people do. I had, for instance, a housewarming yesterday evening, and one of my friends came a little earlier, and I had like a lot of food in my house, and she was like, oh my God, I need to just, you know, eat something right now because I just came back from a Pilates class, and I just feel that I need to fuel my body. You know, that's how it's supposed to be. So your intention when it comes to exercise is a big one. Now, I can also understand that a lot of people think, okay, well, I'm only able or allowed to eat more if I did exercise. So your eating sort of can flip everything upside down, right? It's going to be like, oh wait, that's cool, I'm allowed to eat more when I've exercised or if I've exercised. So you're gonna create this codependency between wanting to eat more, or allowing yourself to eat more, and having that permission through exercising. So again, that codependency needs to be unlinked. You have to be able to eat whatever you want on your rotting days as well, even if it's going to be a rotting week, a rotting month. Like I, for instance, as you guys know, if you follow me on Instagram, I'm taking a month off. And there's going to be a lot of rest. It's going to be my month of rest. It's going to be a lot of laying on the beach, a lot of like laying down, a lot of also therapy, like a lot of emotional distress for sure. But physically, I'm not going to lift a finger, like nothing. And I feel like I really need that currently. My body is so tense. It's so in pain. I need that, you know? So do you really think I'm going to eat less because of that? Well, if that would be the case, it wouldn't be recovered. So that if the answer is, are you uncomfortable with eating the same amount or even more on rest days or on days where you don't do anything, you have, I would say, unfortunately, a unhealthy relationship with exercise. And if it becomes compulsive in the sense that you have to do a certain thing, and if you don't do that thing, you're getting restless, you're getting nervous, you're getting antsy. Again, you want to break that compulsion by implementing complete rest. Now, there's also something like incidental exercise. So let's say if someone, goes on a holiday or on a city trip, and a lot of my clients do that. They would say, okay, but I'm moving around a lot. You know, I'm walking through the city. I'm walking, like exploring. And I always say, listen, do that. Enjoy. But guess what? Everyone who goes, like, of course, as you guys know, I live partially in Amsterdam, partially in the south of France. If I'm going to explore a new town or a new city, I'm going to walk a lot more. I'm going to discover a lot more depending on the holiday, obviously. Something, if you go on a beach holiday, you don't do that much. But if I do, let's say, go on a holiday, and if I incidentally, like, that's not a word, incidentally, just now fully butchering words and making everything up. If you have that incidental exercise, if you are moving your body, which is, again, it's about the intention. You're not going to, I don't know, London or New York just to sit on a chair and be moved around, or even, and of course, if you are clinically very underweight, you actually have to maybe reconsider that trip because it might be too strenuous and too hard on you, which, by the way, I have done before. I was either in a wheelchair or I didn't do it at all. Now, fair enough, I also had Lyme disease, so I was like in a lot of pain, but still I was not in the position. And that's, I know, hard to hear. If you're clinically underweight, it might actually be a smart thing to not go on like an active holiday. You know, that's just not something I would recommend. So incidental exercise, if that happens, like I said, it's fine, but like, look at your intentions and also look at you're trying to rewire your brain. So certain neural pathways might light up again. So let's say you've rewired your compulsive exercise addiction, and then suddenly you feel like, oh, this is like getting exciting again, you know, things are happening in my brain again, I'm like getting like addicted to this moving around, then what you have to do is literally the biggest middle finger to your eating disorder is eating more and sitting down. That's the best solution. So doing, again, with every single move you make, there's a song like that. I just said that to another client the other day. I was like, every single move you make, every step you take, something like, it's a 90s song. Ask yourself, what is the intention, and does it give me anxiety or any emotions for that matter if I do the opposite? And if the answer is yes, well, honey, there's your answer. Then do the opposite. So how can you return to exercise safely? So that is always a very complex question. And I feel I can't really give a generalized answer to that because it's so important to, you know, to the person. I would ask yourself, are you ready physically? Are you ready emotionally? And, you know, you can ask yourself, like, how has this type of movement made you feel emotionally or physically? How has this made you feel, like, literally physically, right? Or sorry, I said, first off, I want to say psychologically, and then secondly, physically. Jesus Lord, tongue twisters for a jaw, painful jaw is not great. So emotionally, psychologically, and physically. So how did it make you feel? Answer all these questions, right? If you started to move again, what thoughts did you have when you engaged in this kind of movement? And how would you feel physically and emotionally after the movement, or how did you feel? So ask yourself like a bunch of questions, and also ask yourself, what kind of movements did you enjoy previously to you developing your eating disorder? Like, ask yourself, like I said, a bunch of questions, and then also keep an eye out on your safety, because it, like I said, certain neural pathways can be lit up again. And like I always say, recovery is not linear. Linear recovery doesn't exist. So if you begin, if you engage in exercise again, in movement, and you're like, fuck, I kind of like really messed up, you know, that's fine. At least you acknowledge that, you look internally and you're like, wait, having a moment of self-reflection, I need to maybe engage in starting with more rest, or actually asking a professional to help me. And I would also just, my washing machine is making an obnoxious sound, I'm sorry guys. I would say also start off slowly with yoga, with anything that is like very, very gentle on the body, because also your body went through a lot. Right? It went through a lot. It's still probably in the healing phase, because we never know when we stop healing. So all in all, I would say the most important thing is the intention as to why you're moving. Why are you moving your body? Why are you exercising? Is it like a healthy intention? Is it a not so healthy intention? Are you unsure of the answer to that question? Then do the opposite and see how you feel. That's pretty much it. I think I'm going to wrap it up here. It's going to be a shorter episode because my jaws are, like I said, killing me. I'm going to be back full blown longer episode next week. I'm so sorry about the background noise. I feel like every single time I record, it's either my washing machine making an obnoxious sound or a boat coming by. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed it. Like I said, I'm so sorry about the shorter episodes as well, because of the jaw pain, and we are embracing the imperfect episodes, because that's also very much recovery adjacent, isn't it? Recovery is not perfect. It's very imperfect. It's not linear. It's never going to be linear. And I hope you're not going to expect it to be linear, because you're going to be very disappointed if that's what you expect. All right, guys. I'll be here next week, and enjoy the rest of your day. Bye. Hey friend, thank you so much for listening. My goal is to help as many people as possible, and if this episode supported you in any way, the very best way to show your appreciation and support me is by screenshotting and sharing it on social media. And I would find it so cool if you could leave a review as well on any platform you're listening on. If you're looking for additional support, you can always reach me on Instagram @DanielleFenke. See you here next week.